There's been an increasing awareness in insecticide use and environmental stewardship in the turf industry. And this is evident with participation in programs like the Audubon Cooperative Sanctuary Certification Program. The alternatives that the turf industry has currently for alternatives to pesticides are milky spore, entomopathogenic nematodes, and entomopathogenic fungi, which have shown to be expensive, and in the past they've been inconsistent. So they need some more alternatives, and one of the avenues that hasn't been explored yet in the turf industry are baculoviruses. And some of the advantages to baculoviruses are that they're non-toxic to vertebrates and plants. They have a narrow host range and they're highly pathogenic. However, there are some disadvantages, and some of those are that they must be ingested by larvae to be effective, and the larger larvae are less susceptible than the small. And then the occlusion bodies, which are the resting stage of the virus that occurs outside of the insect body, are degraded by UV light. Also, these viruses must be produced in vivo, so the reproductive stage only occurs within the insect, so they cannot be produced on culture plates.
Andrea, the left mouse will advance the slide.
Oh, thank you. So here I just have shown some of the commercialized baculoviruses available, and I just wanted to make note that they are all in agro or forest ecosystems. And there hasn't been any research done on baculoviruses in the turf system until recently. One was discovered on Kentucky golf courses infecting black cutworm. And a previous grad student at the University of Rhode Island discovered this virus in Kentucky, and after some investigation determined that it was the Agrotis ypsilon multicapsid nucleopolyhedrosis virus. So why do we think that this virus is a good idea for controlling cutworms on golf courses? Well, as you can see here, this is just some of the damage done by the black cutworm larvae, and they feed on the grass blades around their burrows that they form in the thatch and soil layer. Black cutworms have 3 to 4 generations per year in Kentucky, so superintendents have to apply pesticides multiple times per season. So if they had a biological control that could sustain itself in the thatch and soil layer, then this would really benefit the turf industry. Also, golf course tees and greens are focal points for human exposure as well as runoff, so a biological control would reduce the risk to humans and fish. So this is just some work that I don't have time to go into the methodology for, but I just wanted to show that on fairway height bent grass, the virus does provide good infection about 85 to 90% 4 days after application, as well as 3 weeks. And there's also some infection in the untreated, and this is a naturally occurring virus, so it could be because of the virus already in the system or contamination from the treated plots. So my objectives are to determine if this virus could be potentially used as a bioinsecticide for short and long-term preventive control of the cutworms on golf courses, on tees and greens specifically. And also, can we enhance the efficacy and persistence of the virus with the use of optical brighteners? So my first objective was to look at this virus on tees on golf courses. So the tees have grass that's cut really short, so this is different from the fairway height bent grass that it was previously tested on. And I worked with two local golf courses, and the agreement was that they would not use any insecticides that they normally use to combat the black cutworm on my sites. So my experimental design was to choose 6 holes on each course, and then I chose to use the first and the fifth tee per hole for one for the treatment and one for the control, and these were set up like a pair tee test. And then I sprayed one of the tees with virus in late May, and I also sprayed a 2-meter buffer around each tee. So in order to carry out these experiments, I had to make this virus myself. And this was a pretty messy process, and I estimated that I had to, I used about 16,000 infected cutworms just for this one experiment only. So I tested the efficacy of the virus in several different ways on these tees, and one way was to inoculate each tee with second instar cutworms. And I left these on the tee for 4 days, and then I used a soap disclosing solution to collect them after the 4-day period. Then each cutworm that was recovered was placed into an individual diet cup where it was left until it either died or pupated. And at that point, I took a hemolymph smear, and then those were looked at microscopically to determine virus infection. I also inoculated these teas with eggs and neonates, and I used these white cylinders just to keep predators out. And then I also sampled the natural population. However, the numbers that I got from sampling the natural population were so low that I couldn't do any statistical analysis with them. And then that's just the entire setup. And then moving into the results, these are the numbers of live larvae collected resulting from egg inoculation 1 week after application of the virus. So this is actually raw data, and these are the T numbers on the x-axis. And as you can see, in the untreated Ts, I had significantly higher amount of larvae on the untreated than I did on the treated. And just to sum up what we just saw, so on golf course number one, there was a reduction of 76% of the larval population, and on golf course number two, the larval population was reduced by 82%. And then 1 month after application, I repeated this experiment, and on golf course number one, the numbers were reduced by 41%. However, on golf course number two, there was no significant reduction in the treated plots. And then after 3 months, there were no significant larval reductions at either golf course. Now moving on to my neonate challenges, and this was done 2 months after application, and the numbers that we're looking at here are the healthy cutworms collected. So these are cutworms that were retrieved from the field that were not infected with virus. So as you can see here at golf course number one and two, we had lower numbers of larvae in the treated tees, and however, neither one of these relationships was significant. And I just also wanted to point out that 30% of the insects collected from this one experiment were parasitized, and the two most abundant parasitoids that I had that I found were this Braconid wasp, Meteoris autographi, and then I also had this Stachinid fly, and this is just showing the larval emerging from the cutworm body and then the pupa. So on golf course, then moving on to the second instar larvae inoculations, and this is the data from golf course number one, and we're looking at percentage of the larvae infected here. So 1 week and after 1 week after application and 1 month after application, we had significantly more infected larvae in the treated than we had in the untreated. However, after 3 months, there was no significant difference, and there are actually more infected larvae in the untreated plots. And then on golf course number two, the means were all below 12% infection with no significance. So moving on to my second objective, can we use optical brighteners to enhance the efficacy of the virus? And an optical brightener is an organic compound that has been shown to protect microorganisms from UV degradation. And so I mixed the brightener, two different brighteners, with my virus applications. So I have these four treatments here. And then I have a sampling timeline of 4 days, 3 weeks, and 5 weeks after application. So 4 days after application, you can see here that there were no significant differences between the virus alone or either of the brighteners. And I didn't have enough virus to use for this treatment for this date, so just showing that there. But also, all of the treatments were significantly different from the control, and we're getting pretty good percent infection, about 90%. And then 3 weeks after application, the percent infected larvae is a little bit lower on all of the treatments. However, there's still no significant difference between the virus and any of the brighteners. And then this is 5 weeks after application, and you're seeing lower percent infected larvae, and there's still no significant differences between the virus alone and any of the brighteners. And then this is just a sum up showing all of the dates on one graph, and I just wanted to point out that there was no effect of brightener on any of the dates, but there is a significant effect of time. So as time goes on, the virus becomes less infective. So my conclusions are that the virus provides good short-term suppression of the black cutworm on golf courses, and the virus does not provide season-long suppression, and the brighteners did not significantly synergize or prolong the infectivity. So the reality check here is that golf courses are really harsh environments because they frequently mow and they remove the clippings. So this potentially could remove the virus from the plots. Also, there's a really small thatch layer on golf course tees and greens, where as opposed to some of the studies that I had done before on fairway height bent grass that had a larger thatch layer. So the occlusion bodies could get caught up in that thatch layer and would potentially be protected from UV light. So this may be a reason why we have lower infectivity on tees and greens. Also, frequent irrigation could move the virus out of the system as well. Also, pesticide and fungicide applications that they're doing on golf courses may have an effect on virus infectivity. And then also the UV sensitivity of this virus on the short mowed grass is pretty high. So the virus potentially could be used to knock down cutworm populations on golf courses, or be applied at regular intervals, maybe 3 to 4 times per season, or in IPM programs in conjunction with another pesticide application for cutworms. Oops. And that's it. So does anyone have any questions? Dr. Papenacher? So the question is, did I look at suppression in the surrounds of the tees or greens? And I did apply I did apply the virus to a 2-meter buffer around each tee, but I did not do any sampling in that area. So that may be something that I might do in the future. But I was hoping to target some of the larvae moving in from different areas, like they may grow up in the fairway and then move into the tee to feed. So I was kind of hoping that I might infect them in that 2-meter buffer. But that's as much as I've done with that.